I trust that this morning you have your Bible. So if you do, and you should, open to the book of Ephesians, please, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse 21. Ephesians 6. Verse 21. But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, would you help us to quiet our hearts and minds from the affairs of this life that would steal our attention, and thus we would be robbed of the blessing of your work through the Word of God this morning. May we yield to the work of the Holy Spirit as He may speak through His Word. May Your Word perform its work of conviction and edification in the lives of each one here this morning. For we pray it in Thy name. Amen. This is the close of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And at first glance, we might say, oh, we've reached the closing of the book, the benediction, if you will, and it's not really cause for pause. I mean, if you wanted to put it aside, you say, well, maybe I could. I mean, it's like looking at a letter and somebody signing it sincerely. I mean, do you take a look how they signed that? Sincerely. Wow. You don't do that with the word sincerely. It's just kind of customary in signature of a letter to sign it sincerely. Now, if you really like someone and you in love, you hope that they might sign it love and not sincerely. That would then give you cause for some great pause. What's going on? How do we approach this passage of Scripture? Is it kind of like the sincerely and we should just pass on and quick, jump to some greater content? Well, the book of Ephesians is full of some great content, yes. But I submit to you that this is part of the Word of God. It is cause for some examination and pause. So I want you to look at this passage of Scripture, see what God might have for you this morning, and consider its connection not only in the life of Tychicus, at least it's not one of those names like Daniel or David. I was listening to one preacher that pronounced it Tychicus. That just didn't... I don't think so. It's the hard K sound. So every time he pronounced it, So maybe the way I'm doing it, the accent is... We've got an accent on the first syllable. I know that. Tychicus. So, anyway. The beloved brother and faithful minister. We don't know much about this fella. But yet here he is, mentioned in the Word of God. Forever recorded. Anybody go? I want to go to heaven so I can talk to him. He just doesn't rank up there with the Daniels and Davids and Pauls and Peter. But do I? And the question is, how many people like him will be there? The vast majority. The vast majority. So stop and look at him this morning, if you will. It is more than a conclusion in the book, thus the title. More than just a simple conclusion like sincerely. Look at, first of all, the person of Tychicus. Look at the commendation of character that Paul gives this man. First of all, he describes him as what? But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus the what? Beloved brother. He is devoted in his relationship to the apostle Paul. Now, this is not the only time that Paul referred to people in other churches as his beloved. When he wrote to the book of Romans, for instance, and I have no idea how to say that guy's name. Greet Epaphroditus, my what? Beloved. And when you look at the conclusion of the book of Romans, the term is used four times to describe different people within that church that Paul wrote and referred to him as my beloved. Here was the first one that I've mentioned in Romans 16:5 was Paul's first convert to Christ. And you could see why that special bond might be there. That first person that he led to the Lord. Four times he refers to him as his beloved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he also refers to Timothy this way. Timothy, he said, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in the church." So he referred to Timothy as his beloved. Now we can first of all see that in a very broad scope, believers ought to have a love one for another. This is the mark of discipleship. John chapter 13 and verse 35. "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." In John chapter 15 and verse 12, Christ said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." So it's a mark of discipleship, first of all, is to have love for one another. Love one another. Do you? Or has the devil gotten in there in those relationships within the body? Be careful. Examine your heart. Do you exhibit love? It's a mark of a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, because he referred to him, Tychicus, as a beloved brother, it was the sign of a unique bond. It reminded me of the Lord Jesus Christ. There, when it was described during that time in John 13, during the Last Supper, one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, what was reclining next to him. In John chapter 19, when he was hanging on the cross, when Jesus then saw his mother, the disciple whom he loved, standing nearby. We believe this to be John, the author of the book. And he was referred to as the beloved disciple. Now, does that mean that Jesus didn't love the other disciples? No. But Scripture seems to indicate that there was a special bond that Jesus had with John. Just as Paul had a special bond with different believers in different churches. They all weren't on the same level. And so, Tychicus was a beloved disciple of the Apostle Paul. Tychicus, a beloved brother. And in the broad sense, we need to ask ourselves whether or not we are developing and holding to that bond of love for one another. That means that I'm not so important, but the other person is. I don't matter. The mark of discipleship is to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. The other person matters. You don't. That is different than what the world teaches. The world teaches you have your rights, your needs to be filled, etc., etc. No, discipleship is, I don't matter, but you do. And so be very careful. Examine your heart. Do you have that love and that bond? And with some, you might have a special bond. Beloved, as Jesus did with John, as Paul had with many within his churches that he ministered. Not always all exactly the same relationship. You can understand that. That doesn't mean you hate everyone just because everyone's on this. There's people that you have that you are closer to than others. So he was the beloved brother in Christ. Second, not only was he a beloved brother, but he was a faithful minister. He was dedicated in his service to the Apostle Paul. Minister in the New American Standard, or servant in your NIV. In the Greek, it is where we get this word deacon. Deacon. Now, in context, we might say and recognize the fact, well, here was this person who was a servant to Paul. In other words, should I look at this merely like someone performing a duty like a butler? In other words, here, Paul's in prison, so I just have this guy delivering letters. He's going to take a ship and sail into the port of Ephesus. He's going to be coupled with that guy Onesimus for a while. He's going to make his way to the church at Colossae. So, because I'm in prison, you know, he just my, like an, almost like the, you know, he's an employee. Is that really what is meant by this word, faithful servant? I think on the one hand, we can say, yes, that here he was. Not, I don't think that it's strictly an employee, but there was a aspect of service, certainly, behind the word in context. Yes, he was serving Paul. Paul was in prison. He was delivering letters. He was going to speak to the church. He said, I'm an ambassador in chains. I'm here in prison. And now I'm going to ascend Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, so that he can make everything known to you. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. Clearly, in context, there was a quote, sort of, quote, duty that he might perform in the service to the Apostle Paul. But I want you to see something else in connection with this word, faithful servant. Turn just over to Colossians chapter 1 and look at another description where Paul used the same thing about a fellow named Epaphras. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, he said, just as I has learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant. You might get that connection that, okay, here's a servant. But then he goes on and says, who is the what? Faithful servant of who? Christ on our behalf. There was the relationship that the individual had to Christ on our behalf. The one word in the beginning, you might say, a beloved fellow bondservant, a beloved one who is serving in the church, working in the church, performing in the church, but yet on that other description is that faithful servant to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not just on the horizontal plane that the Apostle Paul might use this word, but also vertically in relationship to the Lord. Look, if you would, at what he described to, how he talked to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He's talking to Timothy. Here, and he says, but the Spirit explicitly says, verse 1 of that chapter, in latter times some would fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and power. And pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the what? Words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Faithful service here in Timothy's life, as he was commissioned to give forth sound doctrine, was also coupled with a faithfulness to doctrine. Question. Do you think that the Apostle Paul, when he looked at the life of Tychicus, could say, we've got this guy serving, he doesn't really believe quite right, but I'm still going to call him a faithful servant? No. If he would be in doctrinal error, he would never use the term faithful servant. I'm saying that doctrine and service go together. Just as Timothy was commissioned to give forth the word of God as he might be faithful to the truths of Scripture. On the one hand, you might have doing the work of God, but on the other hand, you might have belief and faithful to the teaching in the word of God. So in the church, sometimes we can have people that do a lot of doing. But you can have people who are in their doing neglect teaching in the Word of God. And in order to be a faithful servant of God, there must be adherence to the doing and in the work, and also to an adherence to the teaching that we find in the Word of God. That's what it means to be a faithful servant. You cannot separate faithful servant of service, of performance, from faithful practice of doctrine. Let me say that again. You can't separate faithful servant's service of performance from faithful practice of doctrine.
Look at all I'm doing. Look at everything that I'm doing.
But then you're weak on doctrine. Or maybe you're not adhering to the truths of Scripture when it says love, words filled with grace, submit to your husbands, husbands love your wives, whatever the sound doctrine that you might find completely in the Word of God from cover to cover, but you got a person over here that says, I'm doing, look at all I'm doing. You cannot separate service from doctrine. Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Luke chapter 10. Now doctrine, I don't mean by doctrine that doctrine has to be... While you're turning there, let me remind you another passage. I don't think that doctrine has to be necessarily cold. People think of it that way. But hold your finger there in Luke, but let me read to you about what marked the early church in Acts. In the book of Acts, what marked that church was their adherence to teaching. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, it says, So when they received his words, the word, they were baptized. That day there were added about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' what? Teaching. Devoted to the teaching of Scripture and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers. Are you devoted to the teaching and appropriate and accurate teaching in the Word of God? Luke chapter 10, we have a story of two ladies. And you remember how it goes. This is about Mary and Martha. Verse 38, now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparation. Now, by the way, listening to his words, what do you think it was? You know, was the Lord sitting there? It's a sunny day, isn't it? When he says listening to his words, what do you think that content was? Do you think it had some substance to it? It wasn't, you know, how are the games down at the Coliseum? I mean, I don't, you know. There was some substance here. And certainly, and then Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? I got all this doing to do. And tell her to come help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now there's nothing wrong with doers. If you didn't do, nothing would get done. So you have to do. You have to do what needs to be done. But I'm just submitting to you, you can't be a doer and say, look at all that I'm doing, and then neglect the truth of Scripture. That's my point. When he says Tychicus was a faithful servant, he's talking about a man that was a doer, but a man that was also faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so don't be a doer and then neglect teaching. Okay? Don't be a doer and then neglect teaching. So when we look at the commendation of character that we have in the Word of God, he was devoted in relationship, a beloved brother, dedicated in service, faithful to teaching, faithful to what he was supposed to do with the Apostle Paul, faithfully adhering to teaching while performing his service. Okay? Now, that's what I think is included in those words, faithful servant. Now, when we go back to the book of Ephesians, and we look at chapter 6, we find one more thing about this man. But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort, or it says, encourage your hearts. The communication of assistance. I wanted to say, at first when I wrote, I thought maybe communication of comfort. Then I could have commendation of character, and it would be like two C's. But there's really more to this word. It says comfort in the New American Standard. But the NIV brings out another side to this word as it uses the word encourage. The word comfort here is the same word called to one side in its meaning. The same word that's used to describe the work of the Holy Spirit as comforter in the King James, helper in the New American Standard, and counselor in your NIV. The same word. And when Jesus Christ said, I've got to go, but when I go, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send another, a comforter, a counselor, someone calling to your side to aid you and help you. That is what can be involved in this word of comfort or encourage. In other words, when he went to the church, he didn't say, Paul's fine, just want to let you know everything's good, cool, I'm gone. It was more than that. He was saying, all right, I'm delivering the words of Ephesians. I'm delivering this letter to you, church at Ephesus. But he's also coming on behalf of Paul to say, what can I do to help? Going to encourage you. Going to aid you as representative. I'm going to bring these words about the Apostle Paul to let you know that everything's fine. That we're trusting God, that we pray that the gospel might be sent forth wherever Paul is. But I also want to help you and the body of Christ as I bring this letter to assist you in your work. So it wasn't just words of Paul's good, thumbs up, chin up, cheerio, jolly good. It wasn't just that. But he was there to help. To assist in any way that he could. Now we can see he is indeed a beloved brother and a faithful minister. Called to one side to help in any way that he could. So let me ask you this about Tychicus. Do you think Tychicus was a troublemaker? I don't think so. Do you think Tychicus wanted to be part of solution instead of part of a problem? I think he was a person that said, what can we do to bring a solution to this? Tychicus. What was it like to be with Onesimus? What was it like to deliver that letter to the church? How was that early church doing? You get to heaven and say, well, when I first got there, you wouldn't believe, and he could just, whatever he wanted to say. Tychicus. And Paul closes his book, peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love. Peace. Peace comes from God. If there is no peace, God's not there. If there is no peace, God's not there. Paul said that he has learned in whatever circumstance that he was in to be content. That's a tough one. I say, Paul, how did you learn that? And how long did it take? Seems like I'm still working on it. Peace. Trusting in God and who He is. Looking at the gospel and saturating its truths in your life. Peace be to the brethren. Peace at the pronouncement of character within the church that He was giving to them. Peace be to you. May you have God's peace. Christ came to give peace, not as the world gives, but that which comes from above. A right relationship with Him. Sins forgiven. Peace be to the brethren. And love with faith. Turn to chapter 1 and verse 15. This stems from the beginning of the book as it marked this church. And I want you to hold on to this thought for a moment. For this reason, verse 15 of Ephesians, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the brethren. They were a church marked by faith, a church marked with love for all the saints, and I'm going to submit to you that they were also a church in the beginning marked with a love for God. A love for God. Because He tells them, peace. Peace be to you. Grace be with those. Now, peace and grace were a classic conclusion that the Apostle Paul would give to the church. Grace and peace to you. We kind of put it in the thing of, does that go along with a sincerely category? But there weren't a lot of times that he talked about love. He did. There were a couple other books, but most of the time, the majority of the closing was just simply grace and peace to you. But here he mentions love. Love was characteristic of this church. Love for all the brethren. This is what Ephesus had. Peace to the brethren and love with faith. He's saying, continue in that. Love coupled with your belief. Love coupled with adherence to truth. Love with your faith. And then grace be with all those. Grace, God's unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. And Paul said, the life that I now live, in Galatians chapter 2, he said, the life that I now live, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He's saying, I need Christ in me. I have Christ in me. I need to have His grace, His peace, His love. Not me. I am dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Grace, peace, God's grace. Let our speech be gracious, seasoned with salt. Let our character be gracious. Let our attitudes be gracious. May we recognize that which is of the flesh and that which is of Christ. Grace and peace. When he looks at this passage of Scripture, he adds this thought. And remember I told you to hold on to love with faith. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with what? Incorruptible love. Now, there was one commentator who did say in his commentary that he didn't think that incorruptible should really go with this idea of love. That he was simply saying, kind of like it would be in the salutation, commending them or highlighting that which might be everlasting, i.e. salvation, everlasting life. But I don't think that it's a stretch at all to write these words, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Because this was the original, and you say, Pastor Dave, original, just hold on a minute, original character of this church. That's why Paul is closing it this way. They were a church that had love for the brethren, that had an undying faith, and a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and turn over to the book of Revelation. By the way, we're continuing Revelation tonight. You can get in on chapter 2. And I'm asking you to turn there. to the angel. When we studied this last time, last Sunday night, we talked about this word angel. This can also be translated messenger, meaning the fact that John was simply addressing the leaders of the church. So when you look at this word angel, all the major translations have the word angel here, but this word is also translated messenger other times in Scripture. Most of the time, it is angel. It is the word for angel. But there's a couple times it's used messenger. For instance, John the Baptist is referred to a messenger. Guess what Greek word it is? Very good. Yeah, it's the word angel. But we know, guess what? John the Baptist is not an... Well, that doesn't mean he's bad. But we know literally he's not an angel. He's a messenger, a leader. So it could very well be that this word is addressing messengers or leaders in the church. So to the church in Ephesus, the leader, write this. This is a literal church, Ephesus. We've just studied their letter. The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and the one who walks, this is speaking about Christ, among the seven golden lampstands, says this. He said, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. You are a church that is adhering to faith, truth, doctrine. And you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your what? First love. Paul wrote to them at the end of the book of Ephesians and said, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love. And he said, that's you right now. Keep on keeping on. But somewhere over time, something happened. And the church at Ephesus, while remaining true in some areas, left their first love. That begs a question. Personally, ask yourself, is there a time in your life when you had a more of a love to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you let the things of this world so crowd your heart that Jesus Christ has taken up a place in your life that it's... Church is one of those things you do on Sunday, and Jesus is one of those things that you believe so you can get to heaven, but you really don't have to incorporate Him in other areas of your life. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love? Do you bear the title of faithful servant in whatever God has called you to do? There's a lot more in this conclusion than you originally thought. Faithful servant, Tychicus, Ephesus, faithful church, love with an uncorruptible love. Something happened. it begins with each one to examine their heart of where their love is. More than a simple closing and benediction, where are you? If you're listening this morning, the first step, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, is to come to Him. For God so loved the world, He loved you when you weren't even born. He sent His Son and died for you. We love Him because He first loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the first step into the family of God. And when you come, is He Lord? Are you a faithful servant? Oh, how we need to love Him more and put the things of this life that occupy our hearts and minds, that would distract us from having a peace and filled with the presence of His Holy Spirit. Every head bowed and every eye closed. How's the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning? Are there some things you need to correct, and are you willing to correct them? Or are you becoming stiff and hardened? And He keeps tapping. Between you and God right now, what is the Holy Spirit saying? Is He saying, you need to come. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, if you died, you don't know where you'd be. Believer, how faithful are you in service? It can be a little thing in the church, and I'm going to put that little thing in quotes because everything is important. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, take the words of Scripture, seal them in our hearts, and embed themselves with such a truth that it would grab a hold of our heart and change us, that we might love the Lord Jesus Christ above all else with a love that would never fade or die. For we prayed in Thy name. Amen.